This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
To the Friday edition of Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, tonight is Game 6 of the National Hockey League. The Detroit Red Wings are going up against the Nashville Predators. The Wings are trailing right now, 3-1. Can they win tonight and get it to Game 6? We'll ask that question of Detroit news columnist Terry Foster and talk with him about the upcoming game tonight, the Game 5 tonight, and can the Wings get it to Game 6? That's the question. They're definitely on life support. Can they continue and extend their life a little bit longer? So let's bring in Terry Foster. Terry, how you doing, buddy?
Good afternoon, Earl, and hello to Spartan Nation up there.
Hey, yeah, glad to hear from you. And as you know, you probably won't be here next week, and I was sort of hoping you might be here next Saturday. You know, the spring game is next week.
Oh, really? So, well, you never know. Why wouldn't I be?
Well, you might. If the Wings are still in the hockey,
they're not going to be playing next week. Stop it. They might win tonight. I got a sneaking suspicion they're going to win tonight, but I don't think they're going to be playing next week.
Yeah, it's like
just my bunion hurting on that one.
Well, they've lost all the games have been close, so you know it's not out of the realm of possibility. I'm like you though; I think it's a slim chance. But hey, I can hold on hope to a slim chance.
Yeah, but you know NHL playoffs have really been wacky. I mean, you got these 15-10 scores with Philly and Pittsburgh, and everything else is 2-1 and 3-2, and you know kind of going back and forth. You've got some pretty good powers in Vancouver and the Wings and then Pittsburgh, who are all down 3-1. It's just wacky, but you know that's why I kind of like it and stay up late at night and watch this stuff.
Exactly. Me too. That's why I think the hockey playoffs are far more intriguing than baseball or football or any of the other playoffs, because you just don't know what you're going to get in hockey playoffs. Even though there are 7-game series, you know it doesn't really mean anything. It's almost like the one game in the NCAA where, hey, in one game anything can happen.
No, right. I mean, like the NBA. I mean, I love the NBA playoffs. You can basically skip the first round except for the 4-5 matchup. And then, you know, maybe the teams that you really like, you want to see them play. And, I mean, like, in the Eastern Conference, I know they're talking about Boston, but the only series I want to see is the Bulls and the Heat.
Yep.
The rest of it is garbage.
Yep.
But in the NHL, you just don't know. I mean, I thought Vancouver and the Kings would be a joke. Well, look who's up 3-1.
Yeah.
Now you got to pay attention to that. You know, Wings have essentially lost all one goal games, and you know, and can Pittsburgh win another 10-7 game or whatever the heck they're going to do next time? So I mean, it's pretty intriguing.
It is. And that's the thing with hockey. All you have to do is just have that one person, the right person, get hot. Get your goalie hot at the right time. Boy, that goalie can carry you a long, long way in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yes, they call it standing on your head. And, you know, that one person can really take over a series and render a team helpless. So you got to respect goalies in the NHL. Plus, this is the other thing about the NHL. These guys take shots. They don't even see the net.
Yeah.
So they're hoping for deflections, ricochets, and all that kind of stuff. I remember a friend of mine used to call the NHL one continuous mistake. And, you know, you can't argue with that.
It's so surprising how those games and how those the pucks, because like Ron Mason told me one time, he says, you just don't know where the puck is going. Say once the shot is made, even the shooter doesn't know that where it's going to go. If it's going to go in the net or anything.
No, he doesn't. And you know what they keep saying is feed the front of the net, hope and pray that it goes in somehow, or you get a rebound, or somebody slips, or somebody has a heart attack or something. Maybe it'll go in. Who knows?
Exactly. And I tell you one thing that Nashville has, that goaltender they have, he's big. I mean, what, he's 6'6", 6'7", and he's awfully tough to get by and to get some shots past him.
Yeah, no, he is big. And you know, Pecorino, you know who he reminds me of? You see that commercial where they had the fat guy in the goal, and he just sits back there, and all the pucks go off him, he doesn't even move. So that's Pecorino. He's the fat guy that covers up the whole goal. The poor little wings, they're like, hey, we can't beat this guy. He's like an octopus.
Oh. Well, how if the Wings can at all win this game tonight, how do you think they're going to do it?
Well, I'm going to look at one guy. And it's a guy with maybe the most talent on the ice, and that's Pavel Datsyuk. You know, it's cute. He's got all these moves, and he can, you know, stick handle in the phone booth or something. But now it's time for him to put the puck in the net. And I'm looking specifically at him. He's the most talented guy out there. And you would want something from Zetterberg and you know, some of these other guys and Helm. But the bottom line, he's the most talented guy out there. You know, if there's a Michael Jordan or a Kobe Bryant on the Wings, it would be Pavel Datsyuk. So, you know, I know he's cute. I know he can stick handle. I know he can do all this other stuff. Put the damn puck in the net, and then see you for game six.
Yeah. What about?
Simple as that.
Okay. Well, what do you think the Wings might be a little bit long in the tooth? It seems like they've been fighting that age perception for the past few years. Do you think that's finally catching up with them, or do you think they can still fight it off for another year?
I don't think it's the age thing, because I do think they move pretty well. I've been hearing that they've been old for the last 15 years, but teams do get stale. I mean, you can get a bunch of 25-year-olds, and they've been around each other too much, and they need to be freshened up. So I do think they need a little house cleaning, get some fresh blood in here, get some more talent. Obviously, younger talent works. So I think once they lose this series, that should be the focus from Ken Holland.
Okay. Well, what about let's talk about that other Detroit team, the Pistons. They haven't done much this year. They got off to a slow start, and unfortunately, you know, Lawrence Frank came in on this shortened season, and he wasn't able to get everything he wanted in at the beginning of the year, even though they did come back fairly nicely. What's your thoughts on the Pistons?
Well, I mean, just to be short and blunt, the Pistons stink. You know, the only thing, and you shouldn't even praise them for this, is the only thing is they're more professional than they were last year when they had that, you know, total breakdown and you know, disrespecting the coach and everything. But, you know, you're supposed to play hard. But,
yeah.
You know, the bottom line is, you know, I like Greg Monroe as a player, but he can't defend the inside. And it's sad when a team's best interior defensive player is about to retire, and he's like 50 years old.
Yeah.
So, they need some help up front. You know, they beat up on the bad teams, and I think I just saw a thing the other day against playoff teams. They're like 4-25 or something like that. So it just shows that you're not really good. And I think two of those ones against Orlando, for whatever reason, they beat them all the time. So, you know, I'm not impressed with them. Only thing I will give Lawrence Frank a pass, because he, you know, new coach, new team and everything, he couldn't really grab hold of them until later. We'll see next year when it's an 82-game season and it's not this flukish occurrence that they had this year.
Yeah, Terry, the thing I always wonder about, I mean, we've talked about this before, but what about the draft? I mean, you know, there's only two rounds, and they don't seem to get that much players. For any of the teams, they're just not that many good players entering the draft. Is it, you know, some are overseas, some of them here, the one-and-done players? What's your thought on why there just doesn't seem to be that many good players entering the NBA?
Well, I think there is a couple reasons. One, sometimes it takes a guy 3 years in college, 2 or 3 years to develop. Now, some of the, you know, let's look at the Kentucky players. All of those guys, I mean, they're talented, but are they fully developed? I'd say no. And you say Anthony Davis is not fully developed. I mean, he doesn't even know what he can do. So, but he's going to enter without being fully developed. Other guys could probably be better later on, but they're all young. And, it, you know, the thing about the NBA draft, if you're a senior, then people kind of dog you, figure you're not that good. So, I mean, you got a lot of youth in there. You got a lot of guys who are trying to develop themselves. And plus, they're not even fully developed as, you know, as human beings, and their bodies aren't even fully developed. So we don't know what you're going to get in the NBA. And the sad thing is you might get a guy that, you know, is under contract for 3 years, and by the time he gets it, you know, he's a free agent. Yeah. So, you know, you run the risk of losing him.
Yeah, and that then consequently you end up keeping guys a lot longer because you take that long gamble that they're going to develop and turn into real solid NBA players, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Pistons. I mean, they had Amir Johnson. Like, I think he's a decent player. He's not great, but they had to hang on to him just to see if he was going to explode at any point. And then finally they kind of gave up on him. And I think that's going to happen with a lot of guys. They're just going to – they're not quite ready for the league, but, you know, the league is saying, we're going to pay you. And, you know, I wouldn't turn the money down either, so that's not my problem. So I think that's what happened.
You know, I'm sort of – when you met Amir Johnson, that gave the mind to me. Next year, we're looking at a player from Detroit to play good at the college level, Amir Williams, who's at Ohio State. He's going to be his first year as a starter. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how he develops, what kind of player he is at the next level. He's certainly going to get his chances next year.
Right. And I can't tell you what he's going to do. But there's a bunch of guys I've seen playing college, and I think, it's a good player. What's he going to be in? What is he going to be in the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I used to be pretty good at looking at guys. Oh, this guy's going to be a bust. This guy's going to be good. Or, I mean, it's sort of like Charlie Bell when he was at Michigan State. Now, I saw him play there 4 years, and I thought he was a guy that could play in the NBA, but he wasn't ready yet. That he was developing late as an NBA player, and he kind of made the league. But now, look at these guys. I don't know what the hell they're going to be. It's just. Because you don't see enough of them, and you know they're going to be something different in 2 or 3 years. So, I mean, it's hard to project what they're going to be.
Yes, and one thing, you know, we used to look at some of the guys and see, you know, we judge it on how good was their work ethic, because we knew that the guys were really working hard, but now I don't think we even know if they're really out there working on their game, trying to get better, or just, you know, just doing enough to try to get over or something like that. It's really hard to tell how good a guy, if a guy is really working hard, trying to get better to play in the league every day.
Right, and a sign of that is the good ones always add something to their game in the off season.
Yes.
You know, I go back in the day, Scottie Pippen, when he came to the league, he couldn't shoot. Then all of a sudden he could shoot. Michael Jordan couldn't shoot three-pointers, and he had an inconsistent jumper. Well, he could hit the jumper, and then he could hit the threes too. I mean, that's just guys develop games, and you're supposed to have something. Now, if a guy, if you see him in year 1, 2, 3, and 4, he has the same game, chances are he's not going to really improve or do anything.
Yeah, so true. Well, Terry, I guess it's time for me to let you go. I mean, we've tried to help out the Pistons. I'm with you. I hope the Red Wings can get game 5 tonight, and let's send it to a game 6, and that'll be one more home game for the Pistons. For the Wings, it would be nice to get a chance to play at home one more time for the season, and because the crowds have been great. They've had great crowds for the games. I mean, that's one thing about hockey. I'm amazed that people go so much, and every game has been sold out, and the prices that they charge, it just amazes me all the time how much people will pay to watch a playoff hockey game.
Because they're addicted to the team, and that's what they'll do. They'll pay anything. They complain about it, but they end up showing. Earl, I need you to do me two things. One.
Okay.
You guys, Spartan Nation, need to get together and make sure that the Michigan band goes to see Michigan get beat up by Alabama. That's one. And congratulations on your new scoreboards at Spartan Stadium. They look like they're going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah, that looks really – it looks really sharp. It should be good, and, yeah, I'm going to get a good look at it, of course, next Saturday, and that should be good. And I think the Michigan fans, they'll just get a couple of their big money donors to pony up a few $100,000 to send them down to that Alabama game down in Dallas. It should be a good game, entertaining at least. It should be a very entertaining game between Michigan and Alabama.
Well, Well, I want to hear the Victors down there, so let's get the band down there.
Okay, buddy.
All right, we'll see you.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Terry Foster, our good friend from the Detroit News, talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Did you ever watch a movie and think, how did they do that? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at the science and art behind visual effects. Will they make real actors obsolete? Plus, built to withstand the big one, the new eastern span of the San Francisco Bay Bridge. All on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday coming up on Talk of the Nation right here at 2 o'clock on AM 870.
Rain showers are likely this afternoon and a high of 65 degrees. For tonight, cloudy and breezy with a chance of light rain and maybe some snow showers in the evening, a low in the lower 30s. A mostly sunny day for Saturday, a high around 50, mostly sunny again on Sunday and a little bit warmer, highs in the lower 50s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday, from 1:05 to 2 o'clock, right here on WKAR. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Tigers. We've got our very good friend on the line, and she covers the Tigers each and every day. Marty Martin is with us from WDFN. And Marty, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you, Earl?
Hey, very good, and always a pleasure to talk with you. I know we haven't had a chance to talk much since the spring and the summer is coming on, but you've been watching those Tigers. You've been going down to a lot of the games. So tell us, how do you think the Tigers, what do the Tigers need, more pitching, or is the hitting good enough, do you think? Can it hold up? Because some games we've seen so far early in the season, I know it's still early, some games they hit real well, and then there have been some games where they struggled hitting the ball.
Yeah, last night was one of those struggles hitting the ball, but they also had fielding issues, they had pitching issues. Last night was one, like Jim Leland said in the post game, just one of those games, you know, need to just forget it. I think they really missed Doug Fister, first and foremost. But Fitz started with a question anyways, and then you lose him. So now you're missing two guys
right
out of the lineup. Verlander's first two starts pitched well, ended up blowing the one game himself, and but that's going to happen. Hitting, like you said, Earl, I think that they feed off each other, and if somebody can get it going, and Leland said it before the season started, that Austin Jackson was going to be the key for them. He's struggled the last few games leading off, and it's shown because they've had trouble producing runs.
Yeah, and that's the thing when you compare him and against Granderson. Granderson is off to such a great start and playing so well for the Yankees. We know some of the Tiger fans would say, "Boy, we should have kept Curtis Granderson," but you know they couldn't do that. But you know you're still hoping that that Jackson is going to be the guy that everybody thought he would, or he has that great potential. You know, when a guy has great potential, you know you certainly hope that it will reach it one day.
Right, and people have to remember that he's 4 years younger than Granderson. So, and without the Granderson trade, they don't have Scherzer and Cope either.
Yeah.
So everybody has to keep that in mind, and it's hard when Curtis Granderson hits three home runs and goes 5 for 5 on a night that the Tigers struggle to put up runs. But Jackson looks better at the plate this year. You can definitely tell he's done something with his swing and been more patient and isn't as wild as he was last year up to this point. But there's, you know, Bosch is struggling to start the year. Rayburn's struggling. It's a culmination. Cabrera was in a huge slump for 4 or 5 games and has just now started to turn that around. So it's a long season, and it's just a matter of whether fans will be patient enough or they're going to overreact after every 10-3 loss like yesterday. But everybody, keep in mind, they were the American League champs. Texas is pretty good.
Yes, they are. They're pretty good. That's going to be a good battle. It might end up between them two again, trying to get in the World Series. It might boil down to that. What about Miguel Cabrera has ended up is playing a decent second base. A lot of people, a third base, that is. A lot of people are a little bit surprised, but he's come around pretty well. What do you think about the rest of the team's defense? Is it good enough, or do they need to even get better defensively?
Well, they have to get better, and it's unfortunate, Earl, that we're talking about this today after the way they played defensively yesterday, because it wasn't good. Cabrera, there was two balls, and the joking in the press box was if Brandon Inge would have got to those at third. They had an issue at second yesterday. Fielder had trouble at first diving after. It was yesterday's game was just a nightmare defensively as well as offensively. So he's done better than most people think. Second base is still a question mark. And I don't think we've seen enough of Fielder in the American League, in Comerica Park, to be able to judge how he's going to play first, because Cabrera got really good.
Yeah, he did.
When he moved. So everybody's got to keep that in mind, too, that, you know, it's going to take a little adjustment time for everybody, but it's also 162 games.
Yes, it is. We've got a lot of baseball left to play. You know, we'll be watching a lot of baseball over the summer. And this team, you know, it's got a lot of potential. It's a lot of good things can happen. But the other thing I was told, one of my guys who just watches the Tigers fervently says he believes that the Tigers may have a problem running the bases because they don't have that much speed, and they'll probably ground into a lot of double plays. Do you see that happening, that this is a team that can potentially just have a lot of double play ground balls?
They definitely don't have as much speed as other teams, which they haven't had in the last few years anyway, so this is nothing new. Bosch can run, but he's not lightning fast. Jackson can run, is by far the fastest. Surprisingly enough, as large as Prince is, he runs okay. It's deceiving as to to what it is. I don't know about the double play situation, because you like to think that a lot of those guys get the ball out of the infield. Mm-hmm. You're not going to deal with that part, and a lot of it's going to be coaching as to the right hunch, whether Leland sends a guy on a hit and run or has him kind of watch it through the ball goes, because that will play a part in it as well. Whether, you know, if it happened last night, sent Bosch on a pitch, so averted the double play because he was going on the pitch.
Well, do you think fans should maybe be a little bit more cautious? I mean, so many people have just taken for granted that the Tigers are going to win their division, get to the World Series. It's almost like a fait accompli. And I'm not so sure if it's going to be that easy. What's your thoughts? Do you think they can do that and get there, or are they going to struggle to get there?
I think, based on what I've seen thus far in the division is theirs to lose. So if we go along with that thought process, there's no reason, Earl, I don't see them with the Rangers again in the ALCS. And then I think it's going to come down to pitching. Do you have a healthy Doug Fister, which, you know, his bullpen session this week didn't go as well as they had hoped? Have you sorted out the fifth starter by that point? Everybody says pitching and defense, and yes, I absolutely think that those will be the two things this year that will either make or break the Tigers as they move forward.
Okay. Well, let's ask you a little bit about the Red Wings. Do you think the Red Wings can win Game 5 and get it back home, back to the Joe for Game 6?
I'm in the minority. I think they can't. They played much better the other night. They had 40 shots on goal, but out of those 40 shots, how many were, like, truly quality, great shot attempts? They have to get more traffic in front of the net. If they can somehow figure out a way to get Holmstrom and Franzen involved in front, and I don't mean in front 15 feet away, I mean in front of the net, to get that tip shot, to get a pass coming out of the corner and get it by Rene, then I think that they have a chance. Jimmy Howard's going to have to play again out of his mind. Nashville's playing really well. It was a scary series to start, and a lot of people thought Nashville was going to win the series. And that's entirely possible, and it could very well tonight be the last game for Nick Lidstrom. Nobody really knows.
Yeah, because it's been a very good series. I mean, all these three to two games, one goal games, and who knows if we'll have another one tonight. It's certainly been a good series, very very entertaining, very worth watching, and that's the thing. The thing I've always liked about hockey, Marty, you just need that one person, that goalie, to get hot near the end of the year, and he can carry you a long, long way in the National Hockey League. That's why it almost doesn't matter. As long as you make the playoffs, I guess that's all that counts. It doesn't matter where you're seated, does it?
No, and if you look at some of the other series in the league, Blackhawks are down 3-1 to the Coyotes. No, who would have thought that? Look at the goals being scored in the Philly Pittsburgh series. It's crazy. It's like, okay, you talk about a hot goalie. How about no goaltending? Mm-hmm. Which is what you had going on in a couple of those games. It's not as predictable as some other sports in the fact that you can say, well, the top four seeds are going to move on. In hockey, that couldn't be farther from the truth most cases.
That's so true. Hockey, you just never know what teams are going to move on, and it certainly depends on with your hot. Not like with the Nashville Predators, they've got a big goaltender, and it's hard to get the puck around him. He's so big, but you got a big and a good goaltender. I mean, he's really good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's enormous. It's not even big. He's enormous. Then you put this enormous person on skates, so he's even bigger. He's played well. Would I say he's been their best player? But it's not like, oh my God, he's made these unbelievable, spectacular saves game after game after game. The Leafs are good enough to beat them. It's whether or not they can rally themselves. It's hard when you're down 3-1. They've been in three-game deficits before last year that ended up going to game 7, and they ended up losing because you expelled so much energy to try to get yourself back to that point that by the time you get to a game 7, you just don't have enough in you to put yourself over the hump, which is why I think, unfortunately, that they're not going to get past Nashville in this series.
No, it'd be unfortunate. At least they got in and played a good team. I mean, it's been a good series, that's for sure, and it'll probably go out that way. Is a very good series. Well, one team I sort of hesitated to bring up, but I guess we have to talk about them. What about those Detroit Pistons? This is a year where, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to get very far. They'll get maybe a 9th or 10th draft pick of the 9th or the 10th pick in the draft. And that's probably not going to be that good, even though, it'll be interesting to see what the Pistons are going to do. If they draft that low, that really puts them in a pretty bad spot, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're not good. To be honest, Joe, we don't even send anybody to come to the games from our station anymore because there's 1,500, 2,000 people even going to them.
Yes.
Last night, we're at the Tiger game, and we have the box score of the Pistons game up on our computers. And by quarter, I'm like, okay, they scored 15 points one quarter, 16 points. One. Like, how is this even possible?
Yeah.
And this is the NBA, and they're playing the Timberwolves. I'm like, this isn't good at all. So the apathy here is truly set in for the fan base, and it's going to take a while. This isn't we're going to draft two guys, and then we're going to assign somebody, and it's going to all be better next year. That's not what's going to happen, and it's really unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. Brandon Knight's been good. There's no question about that, and Greg Monroe has developed really well. They just got to get some more of those guys in here that are young, enthusiastic, that are used to winning, and try to turn this around.
Yes, and that's the thing. If they can get a few more good, young, enthusiastic players, I mean, that's the thing. You got all these players coming out from Kentucky, but, you know, they're very young. Obviously, they're probably not really ready to play in the NBA yet, other than Anthony Davis might be close to being ready. But a lot of these guys just aren't ready to play at this level, and we'll just have to be patient and wait for them to develop.
Right, and that's what generally the NBA, unlike the rest of the four major sports, are about potential. Their draft is about potential. Anthony Davis, he's good, but it's his upside and his potential. Same with the other guys coming out of Kentucky. Teague, potential, which the Pistons don't have. Unfortunately, the Pistons have enough players to them to develop. The guy that's going to be drafted in the first round, again, like Brandon and I was, is going to have to come in and play.
Yeah, and that's going to be tough if you have to come in and play right away, because the NBA game is so different.
Oh, night and day compared to college. Even the best, you know, even a Kyrie Irving has had to adjust to a totally different game than what he was used to playing at Duke.
Yeah, and that's awful tough. I mean, that's asking a lot for these guys to adjust to a totally different game, to play to play at a high level, not just to get just in the game, but that people are expecting them to play at a high level, maybe because, you know, they get so much publicity at college, and I think a lot of people just think that they should be able to, that should just transcend to the next sport, I mean, to the next level, and it doesn't often happen, does it?
No, and in a lot of cases it doesn't. Or you have somebody like the second round pick, Kyle Singler, who's like, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with the league. I'm just going to go to Europe and play for a year and see what happens. Well, who knows what he's going to be when he comes back? Mm-hmm. You know, if he even decides to come back after his year over there. The speed of the game, it's the same in college football and hockey. Once you get to the next level, everybody's good.
Yeah.
Everything is faster. So just that adjustment alone to the speed, forget about it. The defense or what the plays and everything else, just the speed of the game is a lot for some of these, and they're 18 and 19 year olds that are coming out, or it's too much for them to handle right off the bat.
Yeah, because we don't see many people coming out that has Kevin Durant kind of skills, you know, that can shoot that well and is so long and arms are so long. It's very rarely do you see guys that skilled coming into the league when you know, 6'9" and able to play and can come in and make and contribute right away. It just doesn't happen much, does it, Mark?
No, and that's why I think everybody's talking about Anthony Davis and the fact that he was such a good ball handler, because then he grew 6 inches.
Yeah.
It's an advantage to him. Because, yes, he's still trying to adjust to his growth size, but his ball skills are already there.
Mm-hmm.
So he's at an advantage in that respect, and that he'll be a 3 or 4. He's not going to be a 5 in the NBA. So there's some things playing in his favor where other guys, even like Draymond, if he gets in the right situation, he'll be okay. If he gets in the wrong situation, like Darius Morris, then you're not growing, you're not getting better, and who knows what'll end up happening.
Yeah, so true. That's the thing. The adjustment for college players to the NBA is so difficult, because some guys have to adjust, go from a forward to a guard. And, you know, some guys who are maybe a big guard have to, you know, may have to go to a small forward. There's so many adjustments to make, and so many times you have to adjust your shot. You may not think you have to adjust it, but you're going to have to adjust your shot in the next level.
Right, and if you don't have the guys on the team, the coach can only do so much, that if you don't have those mentor experienced guys, you're then at another disadvantage. Like, if you're going to rely on, and I'm not saying it's the case because they did re-sign Tayshaun Prince, but if you're going to rely on Brandon Knight and Greg Monroe to mentor somebody, they haven't been in the league long enough to understand the whole concept yet either.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, Marty, I want to thank you very much for coming on with me. You know, it's always a pleasure talking with you. We haven't had a chance to talk very much lately, but hopefully we'll get a chance to talk next week at the spring game. I look forward to seeing you then, and we'll talk even more, my friend.
Thank you so much, Earl. I'm very much looking forward to the spring game.
Okay. We'll see you later, Marty.
All right. Thanks,
okay,
Earl.
Thank you. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's Marty Martin from WDFN talking sports with us right here on AM 870. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
More people have been to the moon than to the very bottom of the ocean. I'm Ira Flatto. On the next Science Friday, we'll talk with deep sea diving legend Sylvia Earle and with James Cameron, who just got back from the world's deepest dive. What did he see down there? That's on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday on Talk of the Nation, coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Our forecast for the rest of the day, showers are likely with a high of 65 degrees. Then for tonight, cloudy and breezy with a chance of light rain and snow showers, a low down to the lower 30s. Mostly sunny on Saturday, a high around 50. And mostly sunny again on Sunday, highs in the lower 50s. This is Kevin Lavery.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here at WKR. And now we're going to chat with Jack Ebling and talk with Jack about things going on in the world of sports. So we've already talked with two of the best in the sports arena, Terry Foster, Marty Martin, out in Detroit. And now next up comes Jack Ebling with us. So we'll talk about all sports right here on AM 870 WKAR. And if you need to, just give us a call, talk with us, or share some of your thoughts on some of the things you think should be going on in and about the world of sports right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And more importantly, spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports in the afternoons right here on WKAR, whether you want to talk about basketball or hockey, football, whatever you like to talk about, baseball, you can certainly give us a call and talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now, Michigan State head football coach Mark D'Antonio and his assistants will give us an update on spring practice and the annual green and white game at the Downtown Coaches Club Spring Football Luncheon Wednesday, April 25th at Eagle Eye Golf Club, 15500 Chandler Road in East Lansing. Doors open at 10:30 a.m. and program starts at 11:45. Admissions for club members is $14 and $20 for non-members. And that's the Downtown Coaches Club. Let's get ready for the spring football game. So do that. Give us a call. Talk with us. Well, you know, with this playoff game coming up, I'm holding out hope for the chance of the Detroit Red Wings of taking it to this game to Game 6. They'll have one more game in the Joe. Game 6 of the Red Wings. It's going to be tight, no doubt about that. It's going to be tight, but it's a good chance they can pull it off. Well, right now, let's check in with Jack Ebling and see what Jack has to say. Jack, how you doing, my friend?
What do you know, Earl?
Hey, I want to know from you, are the Wings going to take it to Game 6? Can they win tonight, bring it back to Detroit for one more game, or is it over?
No, they certainly can. I'm amazed that they dropped a couple games at home. You know, they had that long home winning streak.
Yeah.
And you don't expect them to lose games in Joe Louis Arena, but it's kind of been a backwards series.
Mm-hmm. It has. It has been a very backwards series. And
whenever the road team wins 75% of the game, something's unusual.
Yeah. And it's hard to say. I mean, that's the one thing about hockey because, you know, we can generally forecast the basketball playoffs pretty accurately. You know,
right.
It's hard. You know, most teams in a 4 out of 7 series, they're going to win. You know, the 1 and 2s win. The only question series that are questionable are the 4 and 5 series most of the time. But you know, the hockey. I mean, it can be the ones, the way we see 8s knockoff ones. It's a good chance of that happening in this series, and you know, any of those series can happen in hockey. It doesn't matter if you're a 2 seed or a 7 seed.
Right.
You've got just as good a chance to knock off a 2 seed if you're a 7 seed.
Yeah, I think hockey is the most unpredictable, and you know, you get the bounce of the puck, plus you get a hot goaltender.
Yeah,
that changes everything.
Yeah, especially the hot goaltender. I mean, boy, that's a sport. That's one person in a sport that can make a serious difference and a huge impact on the game, just that one person. If a goalie gets hot, it certainly makes your chances a lot better to win that series.
Absolutely. And the Wings are running into one right now, so that's made a big difference.
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to wait and see, and hopefully they can get one tonight and bring it back to Detroit for Game 6. Now, what's your thoughts? I know you've been following the Tigers. You've written another book on the Tigers. What's your thought on this year's Tigers? Especially, I know when we haven't talked a whole lot since they got the fielder, but he's making a strong impact on the team. But do they need more pitching? And, you know, how do you think about the fielding? And Miguel Cabrera seemed to have done a pretty good job at third base so far.
Yeah, I think they need more pitching, especially if Mister can't pitch. If he's back and he's healthy and he pitches the way he can, they may have enough. No one ever has enough pitching, or, you know, everyone can use more. But the question is, what do you give up to get it? And I think the Tigers are capable of scoring a lot of teams. Now, last night, I think they ran into maybe the best team in baseball. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the Tigers and the Rangers dueling it out in the American League Championship Series.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at that at all, because they are the two best teams in the American League. And, you know,
everyone talks about the Yankees and the Red Sox, but I'll take Detroit and Texas.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, they're so both so good. What about the fielding aspect? You know, I talked with Gary Gillette a little while back, and he's concerned about how you can see the Tigers just grounding into a ton of double plays because they just don't have that much speed on the team.
Yeah, I think that's always going to be an issue. They have Austin Jackson, who can really run, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to play some station-to-station baseball. Mm-hmm. But they have enough hitting that they're going to drive in a lot of runs. They're going to have a lot of three-run swings. And I would expect the Tigers to be right there at the end of September.
Yeah, because they do have a lot of hitting. That's one thing we can say for sure. I mean, it didn't look that great last night against Texas. But like you say, by that time, it's always interesting to see what adjustments they make. How well do the hitters adjust to the pitching that they face, and how well do the pitchers adjust to the hitting? Because baseball, to me, is a game of constant adjustment. You're always adjusting to one way or another, and it's going to be interesting to see who does the best job of adjusting, and can you come up with a good deal of hitting or pitching?
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think the Tigers have the capability to do that. They have some veteran pitching. I think anytime you have Justin Verlander, you can throw out there every fifth day. That gives you a big advantage. But I think you're talking about one of the best hitting catchers in baseball, Alex Avila. You're talking about Prince Fielder. Miguel Cabrera, I think, matches up with any hitter in the major leagues. And they've got hitting at some other spots, too. So I expect the Tigers to be there in the long haul.
Yeah, let's hope that they are. I mean, that's what everybody thought. I mean, it came in at the beginning of the season. Everyone thought that the Tigers are just going to run away with their Central Division and, you know, and get to the World Series. It's going to be easy pickings getting to the World Series. I'm not so sure it's going to be that easy. They might struggle a little bit to get to the World Series. Well, how do you see it? Do you think they can still just run off that Central Division is theirs, or do you think they're going to struggle a little bit?
Well, I think they're going to win the Central Division, and I think they're going to win it fairly handily. But as far as getting to the World Series, now you get into, I think California off to a slow start. You're going to hear a lot from them before it's over. Of course, Boston and Yankees. But I think the team to watch in that division really is Tampa.
Yes, they are.
And, you know, you got Tampa Bay in the mix. I still think you've got Texas as a team you've got to beat in the American League.
For some reason, it seems like everybody just like year in and year out, maybe because New York and Boston, Tampa always seems to get overlooked, don't they?
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, they've done very well in that division the last few years.
Yes.
Their numbers stack up very well against Boston and New York.
Yeah, they've just been they've been so much better than what we forecast. Well, one team we don't have to worry about, and those are the Detroit Pistons. They've not come up and shown that they're really a strong NBA team. They've got some loyal fans. I don't know how many loyal fans they've got. It seems like that crowds, every time you look at the Pistons game, you see a shrinking crowd. You just don't see that many people there. You just have to wonder, is Tom Gore thinking now that maybe he made a mistake buying this team?
Well, he bought more than a basketball team. I think he bought Palace Entertainment. So there's a lot that goes with that, but you know, you can make a quick comeback in the NBA.
Yeah.
You get a couple players, you can get a free agent, you get a good draft choice. Pistons should be in position to get a pretty good draft choice. What do you think they need?
Shoot, they need forwards. We know that. They've got a center. They've got a decent point guard, maybe a decent off guard. Stuckey might be a good off guard, it looks like, with Brandon Knight. So they probably just need a couple of forwards. They've got a few good bench players, but they need some. They certainly got to get better at the forward spot, at both forward spots.
Well, what kind of a pro do you think Jared Sollinger is going to be?
He's got to play a forward, a big forward. So he's just got to become a better shooter, better perimeter shooter. He's okay on the inside. He'll be all right, but he's got to become a better perimeter shooter and a better long range shooter. We saw him shoot a few things at the college level, a few long shots, but he's just going to have to be more efficient as a college 3-point shooter and as an inside player. He's 6'9". He's strong. He's going to have to take guys off the dribble, so we've just got to see if he's going to get better, if he can make the adjustment at this next level to what he did at college.
Right. Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, then what about, and that's the thing with the draft, there's just not that many players in the draft. I mean, you know, if I was just talking with Marty, and she was saying how, if you get down to 9, 10, or 11, if the Pistons draft somewhere there may not be much left. I mean, that's the thing about the draft. There's just not that much in the draft. Year in and year out, you have maybe two or three good players, and then a lot of guys are just hoping and hoping that somebody comes through for you.
Well, maybe there are two or three locks, two or three guys you know, but you can get good players anywhere in the draft. You know, you look at Miami got a lot out of Norris Cole this year, late in the draft. Pistons won a championship with Tayshaun Prince, was picked 22nd in the draft. So you can get guys later in the draft if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, and that's the key. Do you know what you're doing?
I was watching a game the other night, Earl, with the Miami and the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh in that game. You know what those three guys have in common?
What?
They were all taken after Darko Milicic. So if the Pistons had made a more intelligent draft choice, could you imagine Dwayne Wade on the Pistons? Be a totally different team.
Yeah, that's true. It would be if they had got him. That certainly would have made a difference. And you know, it really wasn't that bad. I mean, Milicic just he was too young. They just drafted a player that was really wasn't ready to play at this level. He was just a young kid, 18 at the time, and they thought they were getting a quote unquote a diamond in the rough that a guy like that would develop, and he developed, but he just didn't develop soon enough for the Pistons. Then you know, they made a mistake in a coach like Larry Brown, who really didn't like young players. And at that time, he really had a thing against European players. So it made it tough for them to get anything out of Milicic. So, you know, that was just an unfortunate draft pick for them.
Well, you know, right now, a lot of people are more interested in spring football than they are in the Pistons. So, we got that coming up. We had Michigan last week and Ohio State this week, Michigan State next week. And it'll be time to make our annual predictions.
Yeah, we'll have to do that coming pretty soon as we'll take a look at the spring. And, you know, I must admit, I've been very impressed with Michigan State. As you know, over the years, Jack, I've always talked about, you know, how they've had lack of depth. Well, now they've got depth in this team. They've really got some good, solid depth. We don't know how much they're going to win or anything like that, but they certainly got players at every position, and they got backup players. They used to just have good starters and didn't have much in the back. Now they've got a lot in the back end, so a lot of times they've got guys coming off the bench who are just as good as the guys that are starting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Earl, I get a lot of questions about Greater Lansing Sport Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to just tell you a little bit about what's coming up in the next issue, because you'll appreciate this. Now, you watch Sexton. In fact,
yes.
I mentioned you in the story we did about Lansing Sexton and winning the back-to-back championships and what a solid team that was in Class B.
Yes, it was.
But we also have a very interesting story about Anthony Iani
mm-hmm.
and his battle with autism.
Okay.
A lot of people are not aware of that, but amazing recovery from what some people thought was not going to be much of a future. And here he is, a varsity athlete, a couple of Big Ten championships under his belt. And then we spent a lot of time with Bob Embry in the Crown Boxing Club. I know what a big boxing guy you are, but talk about the anniversary there. And all the way back through what's made Crown great. You know, Hammer and Hank Nelson and Joe Lipsy and Roger Turner
and
all those guys. And a lot of people don't know that Bob Every helped train Justin Abdelkader in the off season, teaching him how to fight.
Yes, he did that with a lot of. I used to watch hockey guys go over there to the gym, and you know, he'd be working out the hockey guys. I said, yeah. So this is how they learn to fight and better protect themselves. And it's funny how a lot of hockey players get training in boxing to become a so they can, if they have to lace them up or fight there, they know how to better protect themselves and how to better do it. It's just amazing. I still don't understand why more people don't like boxing. They love to watch the hockey players fight, but they just don't love to watch watch the guys who actually do the fighting.
Well, maybe in a hockey fight you don't have to worry about all the corruption that you get in boxing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You don't have to worry about that, but yeah, it's good to.
I told you what I want with boxing, Earl. Mm-hmm. You'll get me interested when you have a scoreboard.
Oh yeah.
I don't like the fact that you don't know who won the round. At the end of the fight, it's a big surprise.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The thing with that, Jack, if we ever do get one of those, you know, if a guy is leading in all the scorecards going into the last round, and all he's got to do is run around, and you know he know he's got a decision, he knows he can give up that 1 point in the last round, and as long as he stays on his feet, and you know he can't lose the fight, and that's the only thing that hurts it, if you put the scores up there and the guy knows exactly where he's at, if he knows he needs a knockout, that's going to be hard to knock somebody out. It's hard to not get a knockout, you know, especially when you're trying for one. That's always a challenge. So I don't know if we'll ever see that, that's for sure.
Well, you know, that way the other guy knows that he's got to get the knockout.
Yeah.
And I think right now a lot of fighters are on a bicycle anyway backing up. So, they get to that point of fight and they think, hey, we've got this thing under control. The thing is that the average fan doesn't know what the score is.
Yeah. Well, hey, I want to talk that Sexton. That the thing that's you're going to be writing about with Sexton in there. You know that was so great. You know, we followed them closely these last couple of years, and
right.
And the thing they did that Carlton did and his players that was truly amazing. And it's rare that you have kids that stay together. I mean, they've been good friends for so long,
yep.
and they played so unselfish for years, and you just don't see that much in high school players that play that much and that is selfish. And listen to the coach. Carlton just, to me, just did a tremendous job with that team for the past few years.
Well, certainly did. And I think that a lot of people are very proud of him, from his high school coach, Morgan Wooten, to Judd Heathcote, Chris Ferguson, a really guy who started in high school coaching. You know, a lot of Spartans over there. I just also wanted to mention, for people who've been asking about the football book, Heart of a Spartan is going to be ready. Should be ready around the 1st of June. And you can go online. You can order that now. Get one of the first copies autographed at heartofaspartanbook.com.
Okay, heartofaspartanbook.com. And your baseball book is out now, right?
Baseball book is out now. It's in all the bookstores. And hopefully it'll be a long enough season that people will be talking about it during the World Series.
Yeah, I think it will be. I think the Tigers, as we say, I think they're good enough to get there. Whether they will or not, we don't know. But I think they're certainly good enough to get to the World Series. And
right.
That division that they're in, you're right. It's theirs for the taking. I'd be shocked if they didn't win this division.
Well, maybe I'll see you over at MSU baseball later.
Yeah, you will. Okay, Jack.
All right.
Hey, thanks a lot, buddy. Talk to you later. Yep. Bye bye. And that's Jack Ebling talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR East Lansing. Don't forget that you can see me on Sunday on the Sunday Stout on Sports. Tim Stout and I will be on Channel 10 WILX TV Sunday at 11 o'clock. So come and join us then, and we'll talk more sports with you right here on AM 870 WKAR. And Tim and I join us on Sunday morning on TV 10. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling. Make sure you come back and join us on Monday right here on AM 870 WKAR. We need you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. So come back and join us on Monday. We want you to have yourself a safe and pleasant weekend. Join us on Monday right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. And don't forget to come with us right now on Monday through Friday right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have a safe and pleasant evening, and we'll see you on Monday right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.